Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, the Bears won the number one pick sweepstakes, and they lost the game against the Minnesota Vikings, which whatever. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about a lot more about the 2022 season, but otherwise, how did you find the finale?
Such a strange game. I wrote about it at the site a little bit. You know, it's... I've always talked about I will never root against my favorite team. I rooted against my favorite team on Sunday. This is kind of the Bill Zimmerman philosophy. He said the same thing all year. He'll never root against them unless it's the last game of the year, and that's all that matters. So I wasn't actively, like, cheering for them. Like, yeah, they're an interception, yay. I wasn't that. But, you know, I was like, you know, they were just a bad football team. So luckily – They got down early, so it was no drama, and then of course the Texans game really sealed the deal. That was exciting ending. I had it on Red Zone, and I was hoping they would show that, and they of course did. So that was ridiculous how that all played out. And you know, Lovie Smith, you know, like we've talked about, coaches don't tank, players don't tank, organizations tank. So Lovie was going for it. Plus, Lovie knew he was gone. That Texans franchise is ridiculous how they've done the last two coaches dirty. That's bad stuff over there.
Yeah, I think we all knew that Lovie didn't have much of a chance going into this year. I think there was even talk about the way the contract was structured was that they were going to be able to move on from him with kind of a minimal hit or something like that. Only 1 year was kind of guaranteed, or maybe 2 years were guaranteed on the contract, something lighter than what you'd see normally for a coach. Lovie knew what he was getting into. Obviously, he figured he could take the chance and try to turn it around. Didn't have anything around him. But I'm sure that those players were playing hard for him at the end because you saw that they won two out of their last three games. He doesn't want to go down as having the worst record. The Chicago tie was nice. Obviously Lovie Smith didn't care anything about that. He was just trying to win football games. And again, he knew he was on his way out, but it was a fun story to follow. Like you said, Bill Zimmerman had TJ, I believe it was TJ that put up the graphic, correct?
Yeah, with the Lovie beard
on the Bear logo. A lot of us had that as our profile picture for Twitter yesterday. And it was fun little storyline to cheer for. The way that it went down, looked like the Texans were going to walk away with that game. Then they gave up the lead. They were down. They came back. They had a fourth down miracle play to continue the drive. Then they were like fourth and even longer, like fourth and 20 something. They throw like a desperate Hail Mary.
Yeah.
The Colts defender goes up for the ball and it just goes right through his hands. And Atkins, the guy that caught the touchdown, he almost like was surprised that the ball made it through the hands because he's like, oh, here it is. And he catches the ball and he kind of almost looks around like there was just this like, what are we doing here? And then they go for two. They get the 2-point conversion. They hold them in the last minute, and Texans get a big win. Colts move up in the draft order. There's a lot of talk about that. Colts are quarterback hungry. They're now picking fourth. Would that be an attractive spot for Chicago to trade down to? So we'll get into that a little bit here in a minute as well. I got a little teaser for that. Nice. But it was a fun finale for a season that went, you know, pretty much like worse than we thought in terms of record wise. But you know, we knew that this team wasn't going anywhere. And so to have some intrigue and some interest in the last game of the season was pretty fun.
I never imagined that the Bears would have the worst record in the league and still figure out that Justin Fields is the guy moving forward. Yeah. He's got some work to do. it'll be talked about these next few months, I'm sure, by everyone. But he knows it. The Bears know it. Everyone knows it. He's got some work to do, but he showed enough. You know, this franchise believes in him. You know, there's some quotes out there from Coach Eberflus. So Ryan Poles talked about it. You know, there is going to be none of this, you know, will they draft? No, they're not drafting a quarterback. This is their guy. Any of that other stuff is going to be created by, you know, outside forces. But I never imagined the worst team in the league while figuring out Fields is the guy. I figured if they had a bad team, it would be, well, Fields is not the guy. Fields is the guy.
Yeah, I remember saying it might have been on this show, might have been on one of the other like 58 shows that I've been on beginning of the year, where I said people were complaining about the, I believe it was the Sports Illustrated prediction where they said Bears are going to have the worst record in the league. At the time, it didn't feel like that was accurate. Got to give the Sports Illustrated guys some credit here. They predicted the record correctly. I believe it was a 3-win record, right? There's a little bit of that going around too with a certain member of our team that kind of made fun of that after the first couple of weeks. But they kind of nailed that. Okay, fine. But at the time I was like, you know, guys, if we get through this season and the Bears do have the number one overall pick and they have figured out that Justin Fields is the guy, that is a great position to be in.
Yep.
If they get to the end of the year and they figure out that Justin Fields isn't the guy and they have the number one pick, that's a pretty good position to be in too. So this idea of like, oh, that's crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, that would be terrible, that would be a disaster for the organization, I disagree. I think it's actually a really good position to be in, because the point of this year, as we have said all along, is to clear the sins of the past off of the payroll. It is to figure out who on this roster is worth being part of this football team going forward, which I think that we have a lot of that information. It's not many. It's not a lot, but you know, that's there. And then it's to set this new culture up. And I think that we saw that with the Hits philosophy and you know, Coach Eberflus and what they're trying to do here. Year one of the new offensive system with Luke Getsy, like those things were important foundational pieces to have this year. And I would say that all three of those things were accomplished.
They're in a good place as a franchise. And it seems weird coming off a 3-win season, but they really are. I mean, they're not going to have a huge jump, you know, next season, but you know, it's right there for them. And you know, like you said, some pieces are in place, enough pieces are in place. They know what they're doing. So it's a good place. Now it's up to Ryan Poles, you know, get it done here.
All right, Lester, well, let's talk about the Portillo's Trench Tribute. Like every week we start off in the trenches, because of course that is where football is played. And like every week this year, Portillo's has been sponsoring our show and particularly this segment. It's the last one of the year, $100 gift card, your last opportunity to get in on this. We haven't had a lot of entries from last week. We had the lowest number of entries that we've had in quite a while. We were doing really well, and then we had a very low number. So if you want a shot at this thing, get your name in. And this year is not just from yesterday. Please don't tell me Nathan Peterman, okay? It is for the 2022 season.
Yeah.
Your tribute for the 2022 season. So get us that where you get your Baron balance. Either that's on Twitter, like just reply to our account when we tweet this out, 2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com. If you prefer to send us an electronic mail, you can respond on YouTube, you can respond on Facebook, or you can respond on the website. We have got 5 ways to get involved here. We can't make it easy enough for you. So get in one last shot and take this last gift card off my hands before Lester steals it and goes on a binge of getting beef and cake shakes.
So, I would definitely do it for sure. So make sure.
They're under lock and key. So let's talk about Trench Tribute for the season. So this is the guy that you want to promote for 2022, not against the Vikings, for the season. You go first.
I had 2 guys written down here, but I'm going to go with, I think he was probably the best lineman the whole season. He had some injury issues. He didn't play the whole year. Plus, he had a weird start. That's Tevin Jenkins. You know, I just think we talked on the top about some foundation pieces. If healthy, and it sounds like he talked a little bit today about the neck, how it's something he's going to work through. It's not no surgery. It's just he has to strengthen the muscles around it. Tevin Jenkins said he'll be fine going into the next season. Right guard. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. He's still got to clean some things up. Again, we've talked about this all season long, but in the run game, he's there. He's got the nut right attitude. You know, he really bought in to the guard after wondering if that was going to happen. And, you know, I really wanted to see him finish out the year strong. Didn't happen. But still, if you look at the overall body work of the entire both trenches, it's got to be Tevin Jenkins.
So I also had two names written down. Tevin Jenkins was one of them. I'm glad that you took him. I think that, like you said, he was clearly the best player on the field, on the lines when he was on the field. Now, the injury issues are going to be important, right? Like, he's going to need to clean that up. He's going to need to figure out body health. He's going to need to dedicate himself to yoga or whatever the heck it is to make sure that his body can take the pounding of a full NFL season, because availability is a skill and it is very important for offensive linemen to be available for all of those plays. Do you see where I am going for my trench tribute? That is Braxton Jones. Fifth round rookie comes in. He plays 1,017 offensive snaps out of 1,017 offensive snaps. That is 100% of the offensive snaps for the Chicago Bears. The fifth round rookie, the only player to do that. Incredibly impressive. Left tackle is not an easy position to play. It is not easy to make that conversion, that jump that Braxton Jones did. He held it down. Was he an all-pro? Obviously not. Was he a Pro Bowler? No, but he was a solid player that they could use, and they were able to figure some things out with him, and he showed a lot of progress throughout the season. So very impressed with Braxton Jones. He gets all of my respect for being available and being a solid presence on that offensive line that had all kinds of trouble all year.
Rookie offensive linemen struggle. Whether you're a first-rounder or a fifth-rounder, you often struggle at that spot. I remember a few years back, the Broncos drafted a guy in the first round, Garrett Bowles, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was a bust, and he turned up turning into a pretty, hold every week. He turned into a pretty good football player for them. You know, you can go around the league. Each team has guys like this. You know, that's a tough spot. You know, left tackle, you know, you're the guy on the edge there. You know, you're facing, you know, the best pass rusher most weeks. He has some work to do. You know, he's self-aware of it as well. He's talked about it. You know, he knows he has to do this. He has to get in the weight room. You know, he'll get in the weight room. He'll link up with one of these O-line gurus during the offseason. He'll work on his technique. He does not strike me as the kind of guy that's going to rest and just, hey, I made it. You know, I did it. You know, my rookie year is over. He's going to attack this offseason, and he's going to come back stronger. And, you know, he may not be the left tackle next season. They may draft a guy, or they may sign a guy. They may kick him over to the right side. They may work him inside the guard. He may be a swing tackle. Who knows? But I think for what he was and where he came from, he gave the Bears some nice stability. And there's something there for the future.
I assume that was your second name?
No, it wasn't actually.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear your runner-up.
I went more for a career retrospective. Cody Whitehair. Okay. This could be his final go-around here in Chicago. He's due a ton of money, 17, 18 million, I think, next year or something in that ballpark, I believe. He is not at that level anymore. He was paid that extension back when he was coming off a Pro Bowl, I believe. He's not that guy right now. He's a little older. We talk about injuries. He's been banged up a little bit the last couple seasons. I just think I wanted to give a quick little acknowledgement to Cody Whitehair, what he's given to the Bears. You know, on some pretty bad teams, center, guard throughout his career. You never want to get rid of a guy and make a hole on your roster. But I think at that money, it would make sense for the Bears to, you know, let him go, find a younger player. Even if you find a younger player at that same money, that's elite money he's making. Yeah. You can sign one of the top offensive linemen on the market and replace him with that. So I think there's a good chance that Whitehair may be gone. And if he is, he had a nice career in Chicago.
Yep. Okay. That's fair. I'll agree with that. I like Cody Whitehair a lot, but you know, injuries got the better of him. He's played through a lot of them, and I think that shows in his play a lot of time. Unfortunately, you can tell that he's injured, and I think it really explains what happened to Whitehair last year. He's clearly playing through something that was never put on the injury report. But we'll move on to the tweet of the week. You are starting off with a fun one from the Ringer's Roger Sherman.
Yeah, my tweet kind of goes back to what we talked a little bit about the Texans game. So Ringer's Roger Sherman at Roger. How does he get that Twitter?
Man, he was an early adopter at of Twitter.
Roger, man, yeah, that's impressive. A good one. So here's his tweet. He just looked it up, and the Texans were the only team with 2 4th-and-10 conversions in the same game this year. And they did them on the same drive in the fourth quarter of week 18 to ensure they didn't get the number one pick. And then he followed that tweet up with a second tweet saying the Texans' 4th-and-20 touchdown pass to lose the number one pick was literally the only 4th-and-20-plus conversion in the NFL the entire season. Everyone else was 0 for 9 in that scenario. So everything had to happen perfectly for the Texans in order to get the Bears at number one pick. And I just thought that was pretty remarkable how a couple years back, so many things had to happen for the Bears to get a chance at Justin Fields. Now here we are. So many things had happened for the Bears to get a shot at number one, which should, you know, transform the franchise again. Maybe things have changed for the Bears. You know, maybe they're not that's going to be a sad sack, and you know that's a Bearsy thing to happen. Maybe a Bearsy thing will happen. Now it's going to be, the luck went their way. Yeah, they got the first pick. All these great things happened.
Yeah, they mentioned it on the broadcast yesterday. Which, yes, I sat through the broadcast of that terrible game yesterday, but. They said, last time the Bears, they finished with the worst record, tied with the Steelers, 1970. They had a coin flip. Steelers won the coin flip, and they drafted Terry Bradshaw, right? Like, okay, maybe the Bears draft Terry Bradshaw, and Terry Bradshaw washes out of the league in a few years because the Bears are terrible in the 70s or whatever. Yeah, you never know, you know, how these sliding glass doors moments happen. But there's one of that's one of those moments in Chicago history where you're like, this Hall of Fame quarterback, he was right there. They missed the coin flip, and you know, here we go. So maybe there is a little bit of luck that is evening out over this 100-year history. I think Halas used all the luck up, like in the 40s, and then he got more luck in the 65 draft where he took Buckus and Sayers and the back to back picks, and maybe he used it all up, you know, or maybe they kind of push it into the 80s. I don't know. Maybe it's finally coming back, though. My tweet this week is from our friend Brad Spielberger, and I got it here. He says, in his timeline on Twitter today, he's getting tweets that are basically saying, the Colts get the number one pick, and in exchange, the Bears get the number 4 overall pick, the number 35 overall pick, the 2024 first, 2025 first, 2026 first, 2024 second, 2025 second, Peyton Manning's passing records, 2006 Super Bowl, rights to the city of Indianapolis. What do you think, Bears fans? And it's very funny. It's a very funny thing because we're in kind of maybe like crazy goofy season right now where Bears fans have just come into this idea that number one pick is a reality. The Bears are literally on the clock right now. Like if they wanted to, they could work out a contract with the number one overall pick. If that's really what they wanted to do, right? Like they are on the clock. They own the board. They've got the most money in free agency by a long shot. Brad talks about that as well. This is going to be the most money spent in a free agency period that we've ever seen. And you have the number one spot that is open, presumably open for discussion for trade. And so this is an insane thing, but let's not get carried away here. Let's try to have reasonable discourse around what these picks are worth and understand that there's a range that'll happen on it based on a number of factors. Yeah. These quarterbacks have to be of a caliber for these teams to want to be able to trade multiple years of draft capital to go up and get them. I think that that's a very good possibility. So I think that you will see a team want to come up to number one, but there has to be a trade partner and Ryan Poles has to feel pretty good about the compensation. And he's going to take his time to figure out what that means to him. Does he need more draft capital up front? Is he willing to wait for next year? Is he willing to wait for 2 years? Right? Like what does that look like? Does he want players? Does he want like a good veteran that he can get to fill in some of those holes? So for example, the Colts, like, do they want DeForest Buckner as part of that? Because Matt Eberflus clearly likes DeForest Buckner. Was that part of a trade demand that Ryan Poles would need to trade down for? So the point is, like, there's a lot to sift through. Let's try to have those conversations. Let's try to be open-minded, but let's also try to be open-minded that the team trading up needs to feel good about that trade too. We can't just rip everybody off and have the greatest PFF mock draft in the world. this has to all kind of make sense. So we'll try to shape that and make sense of that moving forward.
I know Jacob has something coming out tomorrow where he kind of goes through a few teams and some scenarios of teams that could trade up. Bill has one coming out, I think, on Thursday, kind of similar article. You know, so we'll have a lot of this stuff kind of showing, you know, teams that can trade up for, you know, what they wouldn't want to give and some historical, you know, we go by the Spielberger model for points, for draft points, the Jimmy Johnson. There's a bunch of different models out there. But, you know, I think that the most important thing here is that the fact that they're number one and they're on the clock now. So there is no, you know, 10-minute sequence where, yeah, they're going to have a lot of framework of these deals made out before the draft. But then if this happens, this happens. If this guy's drafted, this guy happens. Now we'll give you a call for a trade. It's all there. They can take their time, collect as many offers as possible, really weigh which is the best offer for the franchise and go from there. And, you know, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that Texans could trade up to one, kind of like mm-hmm. how the Bears did with Mitch a few years ago, because – you know, if there is one guy that's clearly the top quarterback in the draft, back in the Mitch era, there really wasn't, but Ryan Pace thought there was. But if there is one this year, and if the Texans say, this is, we got to get this guy, he's got to be our guy. And you know, the Bears have one for sale, and you can't let the Colts get it, because that's the AFC South. The Texans got to come up and get their guy. You know, there's a lot of really wild scenarios that could play out here, and I'm all for them. I'm all for the rumors. I'm all for the drama. I'm all for what Ryan Poles will do here. And you know, I would be shocked if he didn't get a move done early. Like once he has enough data collected, and he has a good offer on the table, pull the trigger, and then now you got some time to play with the wherever you go back to.
Yeah, and Bears fans, please refrain from adding, from trading down with the Lions. Like, yeah. Stop that. Stop trading with the Lions. We got to start taking them seriously. That is a team that's likely to be competing with the Bears here in the next few years for division titles as Green Bay finds its way down. Minnesota is going to have this nice little 1 year fun, but they're not built that well for the future either. So, you know, stop trying to give the Lions a top tier quarterback prospect. Make somebody else do that. That's just try to keep the top level quarterbacks away from Detroit. That's what's needed. It needs to happen here. But a lot of fun stuff to come, and we'll be getting into that this offseason and doing a lot of that kind of stuff. So let's move on to caught up in a numbers game stat. I have a couple just things that stick out from a yearly perspective of what did you pull for this week?
My number this for a year in numbers, the number 84. And that is the number of penalties that were accepted against the Bears this season. And that is actually the tied for the fourth fewest in the entire NFL. So Coach Eberflus has hit philosophy, a little more disciplined approach with things here. You know, we didn't see some of the stupid things that we saw in the years past. You know, there was no one punching anyone. You know, there was no one jumping in there and knocking over a trainer when he's on the field. Like some other ridiculous teams. Yeah, that was a weird day yesterday in the NFL. So, yeah, the penalties were down a little bit. And I think overall the team showed a nice discipline. They didn't take some of the stupid timeouts either this season. I really didn't have a chance to track those. But, you know, we saw the Matt Nagy era, how many times they just called us timeout after a situation where they already had a stop and play. Like, why are you calling a timeout coming out of a break or coming out of a, you know, first down? Like, what's happening here? It didn't happen that much with Coach Flus. So I think the hits philosophy took hold. A lot of players bought in, obviously. Probably they all bought in. The ones that didn't, they may be gone. There are 30 free agents on the roster. So another turnover's coming. He'll have a chance to bring in more of his guys, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, obviously a really nice takeaway. There was one game where they just were penalized a whole bunch. I can't even remember now. I'm sure they got penalized a bunch in a Green Bay game, because that's just what happens. But yeah. I'm trying to think if there was a game that just kind of stuck out as like all of a sudden the Bears have like all the penalties and their opponent doesn't have any, and it's like what is this? Yeah. And it was a close game, and it was just very frustrating. But yes, I agree. I think it was noticeable. And I think it was noticeable early, and it continued in that fashion. And that's only good. Those are the ways that you, you know, you can win at the margins, and that's good stuff. For me, I think the stat that's going to stick with us is 1143, which is Justin Fields rushing yards. Did that accomplish that? with the 15 games that he played, but really, like, really only started going, you know, midway part through the year. After that mini bye, he got going and he almost broke the record for quarterback rushing yards. An incredibly impressive year from him out of that. I will mention that this is the first time the Bears have, it uses your stat, but first time the Bears defense has ever led the league in points allowed. And then this was the best running game in the league from an offensive perspective. Obviously, it rolls in with your quarterback having 1,100 yards, but David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert both ran the ball well. That was one thing that this football team did. They ran it effectively, efficiently, and they kept that up for the vast majority of the year. So it's actually kind of a min-max kind of build in a lot of ways. Like, they were really bad at passing the ball volume-wise, but really great at running the ball. They, you know, they were good at something over here, but they were terrible at giving up all the points in the world, right? Like, so there was, you know, the sacks stuff, right? That's another stat that'll jump out at you with Jaquan Brisker leading the team with four sacks. That's the lowest in franchise history for the team leader, stuff like that. So there's kind of some interesting, like, really low lows and also a couple of, like, kind of fun highs.
Yeah, I like those rushing numbers. I think that's I don't think anyone expected to be, you know, them to set, you know, to go over 3,000 yards. They set the new franchise record in rushing. Yeah, there's an extra game. We get it. But still, a record's a record. It's what it is now. I thought it was pretty cool to see that happen. Would have liked to see it happen in a better season, obviously. But what are you going to do? I mean, Justin Fields, you know, he adds that element to the game. You know, is it going to be something he wants to do every year? Probably not. You know, he talked about it. He wants to get, you know, work on his passing. He actually talked about it a little bit today with a couple of the local media outlets, you know, talking about it would have been nice to break Lamar Jackson's rushing record. But he went on to say, and I'll quote him, if there's one record I'd like to break, that would be the passing record. We'll see if we can get that done here in the near future. He knows it. You know, this is not who he was at Ohio State. He wasn't a run first option quarterback type of guy. He was a sit in the pocket, you know, go through his reads, you know, make the play with his arm, and, you know, he'll get to that. And, you know, when he does that, you know, and then the offense takes the next step, but he still has the scrambling ability, still has that 4.4 speed there. So that's just an extra threat to a defense.
Let's roll this into the Fields report. We're already talking about Justin Fields. So finishes the year with 1,143 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. Some of those just absolutely electric runs. A couple of that were even called back.
Yeah,
that would have been even crazier highlight package than it already is, which it is pretty fantastic. On the passing front, 192 completions on 318 attempts. That's 60.4% completion percentage. Only 2,242 yards, 17 touchdowns against 11 interceptions. So that ratio was starting to go in the right direction. Did take 55 sacks, which is very much way too many and way too much work for Lester on
the franchise record. Yeah, the most ever from one player. He broke Jay Cutler's record, so that was not fun.
The beloved sack watch got a workout this year. So I think that one of the things that we saw, though, as we get into kind of talking about Fields as 2022 as a whole, was that it was a very rough start, like incredibly bad start. The numbers were terrible. Yes, there was the monsoon game and all that kind of stuff, but there was just dreadful statistics. Now, you had a new quarterback with new offensive line, newer quarterback, young quarterback with a, you know, new offensive line combinations, a lot of moving parts, new wide receivers, and a new offense, right? So there's you need some time to gel. You saw veteran quarterbacks moving into new systems, particularly this system. You know, the book is that it does take a full year, and then that second year you see a bit of a jump or a lot of a jump depending on the player. And so some of that was expected. It was maybe a little worse than what you thought. And so from a statistical standpoint, started off in a big hole. But then if you see his progress throughout the year, particularly once they sort of unlocked that running part of his game after the mini bye against Washington, his efficiency stats in throwing the ball were really good. And the problem is that there's just not enough volume to have made up completely for that rough start when you look at the whole season in aggregate. But if you are looking at the progression and if you are looking at those efficiency stats as we move through the year, it's really impressive. So I'm not trying to cherry pick, But I think that there is more context to those stats than just saying like, these aren't very good. The volume's not there. Now, part of that is, who's he throwing to? Part of that is, does he have any time? And part of that is, yeah, there's probably some things that he could have done to take the outlet or to make those decisions quicker. So all of those things, you want to see progression next year. But like you said at the top of the show, he showed us more than enough that he's the franchise guy and that everybody is lining up behind Justin Fields because he's the leader of this football team.
You know, I'm going to highlight a tweet here. Adam Hess, who is at underscore Adam Hess. We know him. He's in one of our circles we hear. He talked about some of the quarterbacks from weeks 4 through 16, and he went through and charted it. The efficiency, the EPA, the completion percentage over expected, average depth of target. You know, Justin Fields was pretty much top 10 in all these things, you know, during the weeks 4 through 16. You know, if you chart that out, he's up there in the Mahomes, the Hurts, the Burrow, the Prescott, this kind of realm. He's a bit below those guys, but again, he doesn't have the volume, you know. So he improved as a passer from his rookie season across the board. The future's bright. The arrow's pointing up for Justin Fields. I can't wait till next year.
Yeah, the clock starts, right?
Yes, let's go.
Ah, man, it'll be fun through free agency. It's going to be really fun through free agency, to be quite honest with you. It's going to be fun through the draft. We've got a lot of fun stuff scheduled. And then there's going to be this dead period after the draft until it's camp, right? Where it's like, what do we do with our lives? Like, what are we supposed to do? We'll go through that again. But we knew that coming in, that everything was pointed towards next year. I agree. I think that overall, as a Bears fan, you have to feel pretty good about Justin Fields. If you're not one of those people and you're more interested in some other player, I get it. Fine. Like, that's your prerogative. Fan how you want to fan. But I see that this young man can absolutely be everything that the Chicago Bears hope that he can be. I think there's enough tools in his arm to be the best passer in Chicago Bears history. I mean, I don't think that's a hyperbole there. I really do think that he has the tools to make that happen. So I think brighter things are in store for the Chicago Bears and for number one and the captain of this football team. So we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to hand out our bowls of porridge for 2022. Stick with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Lester, let's talk about the three Bears: hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. So where do you want to go for 2022, your hot bowl of porridge?
So the spirit of hot bowl is a guy that performs, you know, above expected. We weren't expecting this. And you kind of talked, I have two names written down.
Okay.
But I'm gonna take the guy you mentioned earlier. That's Braxton Jones. Again, no one expected this. You know, no one expected to be starting. You know, we figured the Bears would bring in a veteran. We figured, you know, maybe Larry Borum would slide into that left tackle spot, you know, but early on in the offseason, Jones was getting starter reps. And then he kind of just kept that job. He never gave it away. He didn't play at a Pro Bowl level, you know, obviously. He has some holes he has to clean up, but he didn't do enough stuff where you're like, yeah, he can't be out there. You know, there's no way. He got some help, which is what happens with rookie tackles. You know, you chip help once in a while. You leave a back end or a tight end in to give him a hand over there. But like I said, every single snap, and he's the only player on the Bears, offense or defense, that played every snap of their respective side of the ball. So it's got to be Braxton Jones for me. I have another guy written down in case you don't mention him. I'll circle back, but I want to hear who you have.
Okay, so my first answer is a little bit of – people are not going to like it, but Ryan Poles. And now that the season is over and you look at what happened, Justin Fields is the guy they're going to build around. Absolutely. Number one, the thing that you needed to figure out. I think you figured it out. You want to argue to say that they don't really know That, again, that's fine. Your analysis is your analysis. I think they figured out that they want to build around this guy. Number two is they cleared all of that crap off the cap. All of that Ryan Pace BS is pretty much gone. Yeah, there's some extraneous stuff that's still around, whatever, but it's minor. He got all that off. He's going to have the most money in free agency coming in here. And he has the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
In the NFL draft, he owns the offseason. Now, he likely made a pitch that was similar to this when he was in interviews that said, here's how you get out of this. You take a year of pain. And then once you take that year of pain, you get into the offseason and you have all of these resources to build up and do it the right way. It was hard. It was really hard. But now it's over and you look back and you say, okay, we got through it. Justin Fields is the guy, and he didn't get hurt. I mean, I know he got a little banged up, but like he didn't suffer a torn ACL like Kyler Murray did, right? Like, so he's not out for next year or anything like that. And you have all of these resources to build this team in your image. I gotta say, once you get past all of the pain of the individual games, you gotta kind of look back and be like, okay, he did it. He was able to bring this franchise through. A lot of people aren't going to like that answer. As a player, Jack Sanborn.
There he is. Yep.
I mean, I remember talking about him when they signed him as an undrafted free agent because, you know, you do that sort of thing. I didn't expect him to do anything. And here he was lighting it up, filling in for arguably the best player that on the team at the time, when Ryan Poles traded away Roquan Smith again, you know, here's another draft asset that they acquired in the middle of the year on a player that he didn't want to pay for in the offseason. And here comes Jack Sanborn and really proving that, hey, actually for a linebacker, you may not need to have one of the best athletes in the game at that position because a guy like Jack Sanborn can come in and play pretty well. And yeah, Pole scouted him out and signed him to a free agent contract. Yeah, okay. You know, so a lot of fans, I think, got over Roquan Smith pretty quickly, and they became Jack Sanborn fans.
And the money's obviously part of it. I mean, Roquan was looking for $20-25 million a season. Jack Sanborn's in here being productive at, you know, an undrafted free agent, you know, rookie salary. So the money, of course, is something, you know, there. I think a lot of us thought Jack Sanborn would be able to be a contributor to this team. I know he made a lot of the UDFA top UDFA lists that went around. I know Jacob was high on him. EJ was high on him, but I don't think anyone expected him to step in and be a starter as a rookie. I mean, he had 14 games, 6 starts, 64 tackles, you know, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss. And he looked like a smart football player out there. You know, the game will slow down for him eventually. So which will help kind of, you know, make up for that 4.7 speed, which is, you know, that's slow. You know, I can never do 4.7. You can never do 4.7. But, you know, for his position, everyone looks at, oh, that's so slow. But, you know, it wasn't like he was getting abused. You know, maybe he doesn't have sideline to sideline speed. Maybe it's more, you know, almost sideline to sideline. But he's a decent enough athlete. You look at his RAS score. It wasn't atrocious. There are much worse guys than Jack Sanborn in the league that are having success. He's a good enough athlete. He has high football IQ from a great program. The Wisconsin Badgers always turn out good linebackers. So I think he's your Mike of the future.
I think that's
or at pretty, least the next future few years, at least.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fun. So hot bowl to Jack Sanborn. Again, I tried to give him the nickname Jack in the Box. I think that works for a box linebacker. You know, I think it's the most creative thing out there, but other people like other nicknames. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. But, you know, again, if you're considering a nickname, Jack in the Box, that's my nickname for him. All right, Cole Bowl-Porge, let's flip it around. Who you got?
You talked about it earlier. I'm going to go as a collective, the Bears scoring defense. Dead last in NFL, 27.2 points per game. First time they've ever been dead last in scoring defense. And one reason I wanted to bring this up is because I want to talk about two other NFC North teams that were tied for third worst in points allowed. And that's the Lions and the Vikings. Vikings, of course, you know, Viking fans think they're the, you know, the best team in football these days. Lions fans, of course, they're high on their team and deservedly so. But these two teams have terrible defenses. They give up 25.1 points per game, the exact same each team. You know, I think the Vikings, like you said, maybe on the way down after this season of up. Lions probably on the way up. But regardless of where they these two teams go, their defenses are bad. Not as bad as the Bears, but the Bears have more assets. They have more money to kind of, you know, bolster that up, where these two teams may not. So I think it's interesting to kind of look at how these three franchises kind of frame their defense going forward. Of course, the Packers, nobody cares about the Packers.
That was a beautiful game yesterday, by the way. That was a great way to end the regular season. Yeah. And Rodgers' last pass as a Green Bay Packer, being that like lame duck that he floated up there that got intercepted. It's just, I mean, you can't write a better script.
No.
You know, it's just, mwah. All right. My cold bowl of porridge. I think you can go a lot of different ways with this. I really do. You know, the offensive line had 9 starting combinations. That's really rough. We never saw the starting combination that I think Ryan Poles originally envisioned here. And so that's kind of crazy in and of itself. But I'm going to say the wide receivers as a collective unit. We kind of had an idea that this was going to be a rough group when putting together this team. You're trying to find some stuff that maybe fit. It didn't. And, you know, Darnell Mooney didn't look very good. And then he got hurt. And he was like, are you kidding me? The acquisition of Chase Claypool, a lot of people are down on that. I understand. I'm willing to give that an offseason and see what happens with the full offseason with Justin Fields and come in fresh and see where that goes. But, you know, obviously did not do much during his first action with the Bears. You know, N'Keal Harry. You know, I think he had 9 targets, you know, on the year. Byron Pringle, like nothing, right? You know, honestly, Equanimeous St. Brown may have been the player that played up to the expectation or maybe exceeded the expectation that we had for him. He got re-signed. You know, he's a good blocker. You can kind of see why they want to bring him back. But a lot of these guys just, they all underperformed expectations, even if those expectations were pretty low. And that's pretty rough. You know, there's a lot of times where guys could have picked up the offense and made a play, even plays that are just there. A lot of untimely drops. Again, the game that I personally attended was Washington. Darnell Mooney has the ball right between the numbers in his hands, and he drops it for a game-winning touchdown, right? That stuff happened. And I just think overall, in terms of disappointing units versus expectations, for me, it was the wide receivers.
When I was doing my notes and prepping for the show, you know, before I settled on the scoring defense, I had written down Pringle. I wrote down Mooney. I wrote down N'Keal Harry. I wrote down Chase Claypool. I wrote down Dante Pettis, thinking which one of these receivers performed least. And then I'm like, I could go collective, but then, you know, I just kind of settled on the scoring. So I wanted to shoehorn that nugget, kind of come full circle, since I mentioned it a couple weeks back. That's why I kind of settled on that. But yeah, the receivers, even Mooney, who was probably the best, you know, the most talented out there, he had a down year. You know, no one lived up to expectations of the receiver spot except for Equanimeous St. Brown. And it, you know, he came back. You know, it's and let's talk about him real quick. Some fans were livid at this signing when it happened. They were on social media. They were mad. I'm sure, you know, the sports radio had their anger too. But it's like a near league minimum deal for who should be your fourth or fifth guy. You know, he didn't play any special teams this year for the Bears, but in his Packers career, he has been a special teamer. So it's not like if he now is your fourth or fifth receiver, which those guys have to play specials, he can do that, you know? So I like the signing. He's a good football player. Again, he knows the offense. He seems like a good locker room guy. No brainer. Bring him back, you know? What do you have to lose at this point? He's not, you know, he's not your number one depth. You still need depth guys.
Yeah. I mean, point number one, it's cheap. Point number two, he fits this offense and what they want to do. Point number three, I learned how to say his name.
Equanimeous.
So, like, let's bring him back so that I can keep saying his name. Right. Now, in all seriousness, I do think that it Bears fans that don't understand this signing like, yeah, I think Ryan Poles knows that he's not going to be the number one. Like, but you need 53 players on an active roster. Like that.
Yeah.
This guy is worth an active roster spot. Like all the things you said, works hard. I'm in on him. We've been pretty positive on his play all year. So, I mean, we're clearly for it. So, all right. Let's see. Just right. You're up for that. Let's go.
Eddie Jackson.
Oh, you know, okay.
I'm going to go Eddie Jackson. You know, before he went to injury reserve, and again, there was no surgery, so he'll be back, ready for camp, ready to go. Before IR, he was the leading Pro Bowl vote getter for his position at safety. 12 games, 80 tackles, 4 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. He was back to being used in a way that, you know, he was comfortable being used in. Jaquan Brisker was more the physical presence, which Eddie Jackson appreciated because he can kind of do some of those things that he didn't really want to do, so to speak. He bought in. You know, we saw him at camp get called up by coach, you know, right off the bat. And we're like, uh-oh, this could be bad news for Eddie Jackson. No, he bought in. He was a good trooper. He did what he had to do. He was put in position to make plays. And you know what? He made plays. 4 interceptions in 12 games. Eddie Jackson, I expected to bounce back from him. I figured, you know, man, coming to a Tampa 2 style of defense, you know, more 2 high stuff. He'll have a chance to kind of do some different stuff back there. We kind of saw him use them more in a robber role, where he's kind of the upfront safety, where they stack him, able to kind of do things with his instincts. Plays into his what he wants to do. I think Eddie Jackson is going to be 30 next year, but he's at that position. He's got another couple years left.
I like that answer. I actually had in the same position group. For me, it's Jalen Johnson.
Okay.
I thought that coming in, Jalen Johnson had a chance to prove that he was among the best corners in the league. I've really liked what he's done in his career so far. He came in and I think he did quite well. And I think that he proved that, you know, week in, week out, that he can match up against some of the better wide receivers in the league. I know that the AJ Brown game got a lot of people kind of looking at Jalen Johnson and kind of, wait, is he celebrating this? And it's like, actually kind of, yeah, because he should. Like, it was actually a pretty good game. Yes, they had the one big play that he gave up, but overall he did quite well in coverage against one of the best receivers and one of the best passing offenses. And oh, by the way, with no pass rush, the degree of difficulty with which Jalen Johnson had to play this year was as high as it will ever be, because there's no pass rush and he's asked to guard number one wide receivers every week, and he did quite well. And I think that he is, once this team gets more pieces around there, is more competitive, can rush the passer with some actual pass rushing ability, you're gonna see him getting a little bit more love in the national media and well-deserved. So for me, it's Jalen Johnson, a true, you know, bear at number 33, right? Like it's a good number on him. I like it. Continues that legacy and tradition. So he gets my just right this year.
Real nice year from him. Again, another guy that ended the year on IR, but you know, from what I understand, it was not a severe injury, but it was one that would have kept him out a couple games. They figured, you know, let's just shut him down. You know, and we talked about the organization tanking. That's an organizational tank move. They figured, you know what, let's just shut him down. There's no point putting him out there. He'll be back, but you know, maybe not for the last game, so let's just shut him down and get it over with. So good pick there. You know, him, Eddie Jackson and the vets, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, the rookies came through. 4 pretty good football players back there. You got to get one more. Whether Gordon stays at nickel or moves outside in the future remain to be seen, but again, Kyler Gordon, he came on strong after a rough season to start off. He looked like the guy the Bears drafted. Brisker was solid pretty much all year long. He had some issues in coverage here and there, but again, rookies. Rookies are going to make mistakes. Future's bright at secondary, and then, of course, the D-line. You know, they had no sacks against the Vikings, and I think last week we talked about how it was the fewest sacks from the D-line in Bears history. Obviously continued because they got none against the Vikes. So they got to get some dudes out there to get after the quarterback.
You can fix a position group in an off season, right? Yes. And so, and given the resources, Poles can probably do more than one position groups, right? So Absolutely, he's going to throw a lot of resources at defensive line. You do that, that makes your secondary better just in general. You have a second-year Kyler Gordon. You have a second-year Jaquan Brisker. You have, you know, hopefully healthy Jalen Johnson and hopefully healthy Eddie Jackson. Jack Sanborn coming back, man, in one of those linebacker spots where he's asked to be your ninth best player, right? Like, you start to kind of convince yourself that this defense can make a quick recovery and be competitive rather quickly. So absolutely, I think there's a good core there. Let's just give kind of a final thoughts as we close out and close out our last episode of season two. So what are your final thoughts on this 2022 Chicago Bears season?
Just the fact that where they came from, where they're heading. I mean, every year in the NFL, teams go from worst to first. You know, it happens all the time. You know, 33 straight years, at least four times to qualify for the playoffs that missed the playoffs the year before. I'm not saying the Bears are going to be a playoff team next year, but to just right away dismiss it because they're so bad, come on. The Jaguars just did the same thing the Bears did. They had three wins last year. They're in the playoffs this year. So it can happen. Is it likely? Probably not. But I don't think this team is as far away from being competitive as some want to make you believe. And, you know, I think they figured out the most important part, and that's quarterback. They got that figured out. Now they'll build around it, and we'll see what Ryan Poles can do in the most important offseason probably in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, you look at the Jags, you look at the Lions, you know, it is possible. I think that they still have to pick the right players. They still have to convince the players to come. I think Justin Fields is an excellent recruiting tool.
Yep.
I actually think that Eberflus could be a good recruiting tool on the defense. I think that there's, you know, players that probably like playing for him, right? So there's going to be some good that comes of that. But I think Justin Fields is the ultimate recruitment tool, and I think we'll see that played out here in this very important offseason. We were talking before the show that this reminds me a little bit of Mike Ditka's first year, right? So we celebrate this because we know what happened in the 80s with the Chicago Bears. But Mike Ditka comes in, and it's his first camp, and it's a losing franchise. They've been bad for years and years and years. The Bears were terrible in the 70s. Glad that I wasn't alive, to be quite honest with you, because the Bears were terrible. It would have been a terrible era of football to watch. But he comes in, it's 1982, and he says, "Look around, fellas, because most of you aren't going to be here next year." And it's kind of celebrated now, right? Like, he puts the team on notice, and he's saying, like, you know, you aren't it. You guys are losers. And, you know, we're going to weed that out of here, and we're going to get winners in here. And that's what happened starting in 1982, 83, right? You start the great 83 draft, right? You start to see these foundational pieces and these building blocks that shaped the 80s teams. That's what's needed here. And so that number one pick means a lot in terms of what it can turn into as Ryan Poles trades down, as we all hope, and creates more picks out of that. And those picks can create more picks. Not, yep. Maybe not necessarily. Let's say they trade with the Colts at four and with some other picks. I'm not saying they have to trade pick four. They can take that Jalen Carter type defensive player, defensive lineman that they're really excited about. We think they'll be excited about. They could trade one of those other picks down. They could trade their pick next year, right? Like, I'm not saying it has to be that pick that they get. It can be one of the others and start to, you know, generate more capital and actually fill in depth. This team has sorely missed depth for years. Ryan Pace just took everything out of the cupboard that he possibly could. And so this will be nice to see if they can rebuild that, you know, restock those shelves. So overall, I think that I am so very happy that we are done with this 2022 season, because we knew it would be somewhat painful. It would be hard to get through this year in a lot of ways. And it was. Thank you for sticking with us. This is my 64th live stream. Of this season. I went back and counted them all up. That's too much, but it was a lot to talk about this team and a lot to talk about the NFL in general. But I think that I have a pretty good sense of where this team can go. And again, you got to pick the right players, but I definitely see the path. And like you said, maybe things have broken in favor of the Chicago Bears for once. And we will look back on this time and say, remember that time that all of these things lined up for Justin Fields for the number one pick for the trade down that brought this out. And we'll be telling tales of this for a long time. So hopefully we're in the middle of a really great piece of Chicago Bears history. I'll leave it there. Lester, thank you for everything this year. I really enjoyed this partnership and bringing Bear and Balanced. And yeah, thanks for everything, man.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate everything you guys all tuning in. I appreciate everything you do with the thing. You serve as the exec producer of this show. You're kind of running the board there for us. So I appreciate you doing that. And it's been a lot of fun. You know, the season hasn't been the funnest, but I think we had a lot of fun here. And like we talked about, man, giving away $100 every week. You know, that's cool.
It's good stuff. All right, we'll stick around for the YouTube crowd, and we have a ton of stuff planned in this off season. I already announced with Robert that we are going to do what's called building the board, which is trying to actually take some scouting material, try to make that a little bit more accessible to all of the fans and not just the people that are super into the draft. We'll get deep into draft stuff as well, but we want to make it more accessible. We're going to do a lot of shows, and we are bringing in, we've got like five guys that are going to be doing scouting. I'm going to be kind of project manager, you know, hosting kind of role and responsibility for myself to try to bring these guys along and keep them honest as we work through this stuff. So make sure that you're joining in there. A lot of that stuff's going to go up on Second City Gridiron YouTube. We will obviously do the podcast. We'll have a podcast feature for that, and we'll put that up on the website as well. So keep following us. It's going to be a really fun off season. I guarantee you the off season is going to be so much more fun than the regular season was, at least in terms of wins and losses, because I think the Bears are going to have a lot of wins in the off season. So
yeah,
we'll leave it there. Thank you for everything for season 2. And until we see you, bear down.